Not long ago, on the afternoon of October the 10th of this year, Hurricane Michael made landfall in the tiny Florida community of Mexico Beach. Torrential rains, a 9-foot storm surge, and sustained winds of 155 miles an hour combined to obliterate almost every structure in that little town. It's gone. But one recently built beachfront home remained standing in the storm. It kept standing. It was almost completely unscathed. They call it the Sand Palace. And its amazing survival could be called miraculous. In fact, I heard one of the news media say it is miraculous that a home built on the beach, beachfront home, survived almost completely intact. And the owners profess faith in Jesus Christ. But they don't credit the construction of this home. They don't credit the survival to a miracle. They credit it to their construction methods. It's wise building plans. It's built with steel-reinforced concrete. It stands on pillars that were sunk 40 feet deep through the sandy beach to the bedrock. Its lower floor was designed to break away during the storm surge so the rest of the house could make it. Steel cables were built into that 40-foot deep foundation, stretch over the rafters of that home to literally hold the roof in place. It is designed to withstand 250-mile-per-hour winds. It stands as a testament to wise construction techniques. The Sand Palace survived the onslaught of the worst hurricane to hit the Florida Panhandle because it was designed to do that. What's the worst storm you've ever been through? Joyce and I have been through a bunch of storms. In 2005, there were 5 storms that passed within about 10 miles. The eye of those storms within 10 miles of where we live. But we learned some lessons, and you know, you learn how to manage, you learn how to survive the storm. And so when you were in a storm, what did you learn? There are things you could learn, there are things you should learn in the storm. And each of these storms had a way of teaching us valuable lessons, and they made us better, they made us stronger, they made us more confident, they made us more capable of surviving the next storm. And for many people, they probably would think there's no good reason to have a storm. I declare today that there are purposes, and I'm saying good purposes in storms, if you know how to study them and learn from them. If there was no purpose for storms, then they wouldn't exist, because everything God has created has a purpose. Everything in creation has a purpose. God designed it so. If you get nothing out of this message except this, then get this. Ask yourself the next time you're in a storm. And just so you know, your storm does not have to be the weather. If you're in a storm, or if you're in a difficult situation, if you're in a financial storm, or you're in a health-related storm, whatever is coming against you that's beating against the walls of your spiritual house, whatever that is, ask yourself this question: what am I here to learn? What can I learn from this storm, from this difficulty? And then ask God to reveal it. And guess what? When you ask him that question, he does. I can tell you that for many, many days in my life, I wake up, I say good morning to God, and then I tell him, Lord, what do you want to teach me today? I don't think I'll ever get too old to ask God, what can you show me today? What can you teach me? What do you want me to learn today? Because, see, I want to learn without him putting me through the storm. I want to learn what God wants me to know without having to go through the difficulty. And you know, some people want to learn about storms so much they actually chase them. There are people who chase storms to study them. They'll drive hundreds of miles through the night just to get near a storm so they can study it. And you know, the first reaction I had is, are these people sane? I mean, they're driving toward tornadoes. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But then again, firemen run toward fires, you know. So I guess they're just people that do that. And I'm thankful for those who do that. And most of these folks are highly educated, highly trained, and skilled weather observers. And they're experts. And they've made some significant contributions to our knowledge of storms. They can actually predict storms and tell us well in advance. Those folks in Mexico Beach had ample warning to literally be able to get out of there, and they were helped by the public infrastructure to get them out of there with the storm predictions and how serious it's going to be. So a lot more people survived than may have because of the knowledge these folks have garnered for us, these storm chasers. They made our lives safer. They've proven the value of learning from storms. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you willing to learn from storms? I asked the question. Okay, all right. I probably need to ask a better question. Are you ready to learn from storms? Amen. All right, good. What are some reasons for storms? Some good reasons. I'll give you some good reasons. We can begin with rain for crops. Storms bring rain, and rain helps bring the crops. It cleanses the earth. I remember not long ago we had a day where there was a lot of smoke hanging in, and I'm getting kind of choked up in my lungs and all, and there's something going on here. This is crazy. What's going on? Had some kind of a temperature inversion holding all the smoke down. And then later on that day, a storm came through, and the air smelled so fresh and clean. It was wonderful. It's like somebody decided to clean up the neighborhood, and God just sent his vacuum cleaner through and took care of it, and I could breathe more freely. So that's good things. Wind blows and makes the trees stronger. Clouds cool the day. And while that should be enough, there's so much more to learn. If there weren't something to learn from storms, then why do we have all these things like the Weather Channel and NOAA Weather Radio and National Hurricane Center and Doppler Weather Radar and, of course, our own local favorite First Alert 12 Storm Tracker Team? But they exist to study storms. They've all been convinced of the value of looking into this and to try to help us. But the best reason for us to study storms today is this: God speaks through storms. God speaks through storms. Job. You remember Job, right? The guy who had all the troubles. People hate it when I talk about Job. I have people come and say, "Why'd you mention Job today?" Because you know I'm going to have trouble this week. As soon as you start preaching about Job, my life just goes into the doldrums. So don't tell me about Job. Well, this is a good thing, because I'm going to go from where God began to speak. And Job's got all these problems. His wife has told him to curse God and die. He's lost his children, lost his wealth. He's lost all his servants. He's lost his health. His friends have all told him it's his fault. Everybody's telling him, it's you did this. You brought this on. And his wife says, curse God and die. And then in Job chapter 38, it says, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind." Now, just so you know what a whirlwind is, the Message calls, the NIV says it's a storm. The Message says it's a violent storm. And one definition of whirlwind, literally the biblical model, is a violent or destructive force or agency. This was a ferocious storm. And here's Job laying out on his back porch, just being blown away by this ferocious storm. And God spoke to him out of that storm. That's why it's so important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to recognize that whatever it is that's coming into our lives is coming so God can speak to us. Maybe he can't get your attention on a blue, sunshiny day. Maybe when the blue sky's out and the birds are singing, you're so caught up in all those things that occupy your time and attention anyway, you don't have time for God. But during a storm, when you're hunkered down in the closet with your flashlight and your weather radio, maybe you have time to talk to God, and maybe you have time to listen to God. This verse and others tells us that there are answers from God in the storms. Some of these storm chasers are called hurricane hunters. These people literally fly aircraft into these hurricanes to gather information so we can have this available to us, what's going on with these raging tempests. God's been kind to these scientific storm chasers, and they've been able to share some very valuable knowledge. Lives have been saved because of their efforts. They are learning from their storms. And I believe we can experience a storm and learn some valuable lessons. So which storm do y'all want to enter? Which one do you want to go into? One weather reporter commented that Hurricane Michael was an apocalyptic storm. That's a Bible word. That's a Christian word. Another called it a storm of biblical... Yeah, it's big. Biblical proportions. It is if they were saying, if you really want to find a comparable storm to Hurricane Michael making landfall in Mexico Beach, then look to the Word of God. Because there are some storms in the Word of God that make this thing look small. And they're right. There are a lot of storms mentioned in the Bible. There's a storm we just heard about that God spoke to Job in his life. And there's the mother of all storms, Noah's storm, that lasted 40 days and 40 nights and covered the earth with a great flood. There's a storm, and nothing was on this earth, nothing could be there but water for over a year. He couldn't come out of that ark for over a year. Then there's the storm that came upon Jonah as he was running away from God. There's the frightening storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was asleep in the bow of the boat and all the disciples in the boat were so afraid. And then Jesus, just with his voice, said, "Peace, be still." And the raging storm stopped. Somebody needs to hear that God speaks to storms too. He doesn't just speak from the storm. He can speak to your storm. Then there's a storm in Acts 27. I love that storm, because the whole time Paul is telling, we don't need to go out on the ocean. We don't need to go this way. If we do this, we're all in trouble. Don't do this. And then finally he said, everything, they're in the storm for forever, it seems like. And finally he tells them, well, good news, we're all going to survive. Well, some of them are going to leave the boat. Don't get off the boat. Stay with us, because everybody who stays together on this boat will survive. We'll lose a ship. We'll lose a cargo. We'll lose everything. But we won't lose a single life. And they didn't. That's a powerful story. That's a powerful lesson. That if we understand that God is with us in the storm and we look to him for his guidance in the storm, then we're going to make it through, because that's what God does. He brings us through the storms. Then there's a storm we're going to focus on today. It's one of my favorite Bible stories. I have told this to children all over the world. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Everybody say, mighty crash. Now pretend you're a 10-year-old in children's church, and with all you got, say, mighty crash. Mighty crash. Maybe like a 14-year-old, but that's all right. Let's pray. Lord God, I love you and thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us how to survive the storm. And so today, show all of us in this room how you desire to bring us through. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding in your holy and powerful, life-saving name. Amen. In this simple parable, Jesus teaches us how to prepare for the coming storms. You will experience storms in your life. It's coming. The storm story here reveals some powerful lessons about how to survive. I believe that Jesus shared this parable of the storm to help us understand what's really important in life. So if we venture into the storm, we can discover some very important facts about storms. Number one fact is foundations are revealed in the storm. Foundations are revealed in the storm. Some of the most compelling photos of the aftermath of Hurricane Michael are those that show even the foundations of the homes are washed away, because the foundations did not go to the bedrock. The foundations were just right there on the sand, and they were completely obliterated. Nature's fury took them away. Don't leave yourself susceptible to nature or the devil's fury or anybody else's fury. Put your solid foundation on the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. The Word of God is a strong and sure foundation. It will help you stand when the storms of life come your way. Let me ask a question. How many of you are in some kind of storm in your life right now? Raise your hand. Let everybody see it. Look around. They come. For all of you who don't have your hands up, you can probably raise your hand next week and say, yep, now I'm in the storm. Because that's what happens. We all go through them, sometimes at different times. Luke 21 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. The Word of God is strong, it is great. And there are storms that are coming to this earth that will destroy everything on this planet. There is a firestorm coming to earth, a storm of fire that is literally going to destroy the face of this earth. And there's a day coming when all of creation, the Bible said, will roll up like a scroll. It'll just roll up and be gone. When the dust of that storm settles, God's word will still be going strong. That's the word of God. Nothing can harm God's word. Verse 34 says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dull by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Somebody needs to hear this. You hear that? Carousing and drunkenness. And we can look down our nose at people who do that carousing and drunkenness stuff. But we don't think there's any problem with being a worry wart. But God said, he equates worry with carousing and drunkenness. Why? Because all those things are useless. They bring no value to your life. Worry brings no value to your life. You can worry about those bills all day long, and nothing will take place. You can worry about your health all day long. You can worry about your health till you die and get nothing accomplished. You can worry about relationships. If you do nothing about them, they're not going to change. Worry doesn't change anything. It just makes you weak, like people who carouse and get drunk. And it goes on, verse, it says, don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. See, if you're all worried about things, you're not going to be paying attention. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape those coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. The only way you're going to stand is on the Word of God. That's it. You can build your foundation on family name. You can build your foundation on all kinds of ethics that you can come up with your own. But if it's not based and founded and strengthened by the Word of God, it will not last. Storms reveal your foundation. Better to experience them now and learn your strengths than to have the storm come and you not know it later on. I remember my father-in-law built a house in Brighton Estates. And down on the south side of Interstate 85, there's this dirt down there that if you've been around me very long, you know, I promise you, this dirt is called prairie soil. And if you've ever had to dig in this dirt, you know, you will agree with me. I will get amens out of this. You watch. Prairie soil is the dirt that will be in hell. It's bad news. My father-in-law took me out there, and they had a little carved road cut in there to his property, and he said, take this tape and walk about 100 feet that way, son. And I'm taking the tape, and it's a swamp. It's a swamp. It's a Montgomery swamp. And I'm thinking, you're going to build your house in a swamp? But somehow they drained it. And now, and I literally walked in and went up on a tree so I could reach out. As far as I could reach, he said, another foot. And I'm right here on this tree, and the only way I can take another step is just to step off into that swamp. He said, one more, you're almost there. So I stepped. I went up to about right here in the prairie soil. I left a good pair of boots at the bottom of that muck. And they're still there today as far as I know. But somehow they drained that swamp. And he brought in all kinds of steel, metal, you know, rebar, and truckload after truckload of rocks. And they poured the strongest foundation you could possibly pour into that prairie soil, and he built his house. If you go down there today, that house is still there, except it's just turned like this because that prairie soil moves. But that house is staying together because it's built deep and strong, but it's moving around in that prairie soil. And rest assured, rains will come, and winds will blow, and floodwaters will rise. Storms are going to come into your life. He built that house expecting storms. He built the house expecting rain. He expected all those things, and it's still there today because it's built on a good foundation. If you're not obeying the Word of God, when the storms come and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against your spiritual home, your life is going to be destroyed with a great crash. Amen. What foundation are you building your spiritual life on? Trust the Word of God. It is a sure foundation. Number two, foolishness is removed. Foolishness is removed. The foolish person built his house on the sand. I guess that makes every person who builds a home in Florida foolish, because all I ever saw there was sand. But that guy built his house on, you'd think he'd know better. Some of those homes in Mexico Beach have been there for decades. Beautiful homes. Gone. I remember driving into South Mississippi after Katrina. Our churches from Central Florida went up because we knew what it was to go through storms. So we carried tarps and water and things that people needed, and earth moving equipment to literally take down trees and things. And they let us drive right in there. And we went into South Mississippi, and there were homes that were there that were pre-Civil War homes. Concrete steps and bases and nothing was there. Nothing. Those homes were really blown inland for 4 or 5 miles. Just literally moved inland. And nothing but beach remained where they were. Storms are horrible. If you're on the sand, you're going to be blown away. Don't be foolish. And those people in Mexico Beach, they thought they were safe because they were living in that part of the panhandle that had never had a storm like that. But it came. And as far as we know, more than 60 people died as a result of Michael, because too many people were depending on homes and structures that were whose foundations were on the sand. Don't foolishly think that you're going to survive the coming calamity by your knowledge and your wisdom and your ability. That's foolishness. That's the sand. Jesus was speaking of spiritual foolishness here. The storms of life expose foolishness and reveal who the fools are. And I've been told you shouldn't tell somebody they're a fool. But the Bible does. Who are the fools? The Bible tells us in Psalm 14, only the fool says in their hearts there is no God. Only the fool says there is no God. So a person who says, I'm an atheist, he's a fool. National Atheist Day is April the 1st for a reason. You can deny that God exists. That's atheism, and that's foolishness. But you can also believe in God and still deny him. And that's foolish too. Romans 1 in verse 18 says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you have got to know there is a God. For you to say there is no God with eyes to see and ears to hear, then there's no way you can call yourself wise. You are a fool. You got to be. So they have no excuse. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. That's how men work. They want to carve out a little Buddha. You know, they want to say this is God and that is God. They want God to look like them and think like them. As soon as you find somebody trying to rewrite the Word of God, you can mark them in the same category as an atheist. They're a fool too. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. That's the Word of God. You can deny God's power. You can deny his favor. You can deny his righteousness and his faithfulness. You can deny his salvation, his lordship, and his call. And you can deny that he is coming. But that doesn't change a fact about reality, because all those things exist and he is coming. Denying God is either atheism or disobedient unbelief. But both conditions are foolishness. Who are the fools? According to what Jesus said here, those who hear the word of God and do not obey it. Those who hear the word of God and do not obey the word of God are fools. So, you have heard the word of God today. You have heard the word of God today. So it's up to you to obey it. If you choose not to obey it, then I'll stand here and tell you, you're foolish. Don't be foolish. Obey the word of God. Build upon the rock of God's word. For those who build upon the rock of God's word, number three, faith is rewarded. Faith is rewarded. Amen. When you know that you're on the foundation. You see, for the guy who built on the rock, the rain still came. The wind still blew. The flood still rose. They beat against that house in the same way that they beat against the house on the sand. But for the wise man, the outcome was very different. Those who hear and obey are people of faith. Their spiritual house is undisturbed by storms. They know storms are a part of life, so they prepare themselves for that. Are you prepared for the next thing you're going to go through? Because you're going to go through something. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. Jesus said that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to have trouble just because of that. People are going to hate you because they hate Jesus. Amen. Faith. Faith will bring you through. And faith in God is always rewarded. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes from the Word of God. If you need more faith, turn to the Word. That's your foundation. Get back to that foundation. Because storms will test or prove your faith. They'll help you know if you're really living by faith. Oh, you can kid yourself. You can fool your family. You can fool your friends. You can fool your church. But when the storm comes, the truth will come out. They cleanse. They purify. They bring these moments into our life that do these things. We need them. You need storms in your life to expose your foolishness. Oh, yeah. That'll tweet. It'll preach too. You need storms in your life to expose your foolishness to confirm your wisdom and trust in God's word. And as they test your faith, number one, they're going to reveal God in your life. They will. Joshua said, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go, whatever you're going through. Somebody in this room is going to get a call next week. Somebody's going to say to you on the phone, I'm going through something. I hope you remember Joshua 1:9. The Lord your God is with you. You may feel all alone, but the Lord your God is with you. I was so impressed this month as Jalen Hurts, who last year in the national championship game against Georgia was benched. And out comes this sensational quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, and he saves the day. And Jalen Hurts went through an 11-month-long personal storm. He was humbled. But what did he do? He kept training. He bought into the process that if he did what the coaches told him to do, he would get better. He hung in there. He developed his skills. He persevered. Then his moment came. And 11 months later, against the same team, he was able to turn the tide and lead his team to victory. Then the first words out of his mouth, check it out. When they put the mic in front of his face and they ask all these questions, they ask like 12 questions in one. Blah, 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 blah. How did you make it? What did you do? How does it feel? You're the winner. It's you, you, you. And what did he say? I put it in God's hands. And then just to make sure that the lady heard him correctly, he said, I put it in God's hands. He handled it for me, and here we are. If you want to know how to survive your storm, Jalen Hurts would be a good guy to look to and learn from. Maybe it's time you put your troubles in God's hands. Keep on training. Keep on smiling. Keep on trusting. Hang in there, because God's going to see you through to your victory too. Is God in your life? Is he in your life? Then don't wait for another storm to come to show you whether he is or not. Invite him into your life right now. If you've gone through a storm without him, the best way to make sure you survive the next one is have him in your life with you. So just say, Lord, come into my life. I don't want to go through this trouble anymore without you. I can tell you, you're going to have troubles, but you don't want to go through them without Jesus. You need him. Invite him into your life. Storms will also reveal your life in God. Have a way of opening your eyes to new possibilities in God. If you can manage a storm, then it becomes more reasonable to accept that you can manage God's expectations for your life as well. Jalen Hurts, you can go back for 11 months and you can't find an interview, maybe one or two. He didn't say much. He has now. Later on, he was asked some things, and he confessed how much it hurt. It hurt him to be relegated to the second string. He knew how good he was. He knew how talented he was. This was a guy that led his team to a 26-2 record and a national championship. A starter was benched for a freshman. It hurt, but it did not diminish his character. It hurt, but it did not deflate his competitive spirit. It hurt, but it did not define his life. We now know that it did not define his life. It hurt, but he overcame the hurt. His faith in God and himself, his determination, his trust in God, in himself, in his coaches. He literally shared how one of the coaches, a new coach coming on the team, looked at Jalen and said, I'm the quarterback coach, and here's what I'm going to do, Jalen. You're a lump of clay, and I'm going to slip this and snip that, and I'm going to bring out the best that you have. And he said, I bought into the process. He believed he could get better, and he did. But he also believed that God would see him through, and God did. Yes, Jalen hurts. But he doesn't give up. Jalen hurts, but he doesn't give up. The next time you're in trouble, the next time you're hurting, remember that. Remember that young man who stayed true, hung in there, got better, and was ready when his time came. Number three. Faith, it also strengthens your faith. Testing of the storm strengthens your faith. And I'm gonna resolve this one with a poem. This is a great poem. It's called Good Timber. In fact, you might want to write that in your notes. Good Timber by Douglas Mallock, M-A-L-L-O-C-H. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, but stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to gain and farm his patch of soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. The further the sky, the greater the length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in trees and men good timbers grow. Where thickest lies the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of both. And they hold counsel with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and much of strife. This is the common law of life. You want to be strong? You want to be wise? Go through some storms. This testing will also enlighten your understanding. We learn where to go for shelter. We learn who to turn to. Psalm 46, it should be one of your favorite passages. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as a water surge. One last thing on Jalen Hurts before we move to our final point of the day. Most folks are going to remember that game-winning touchdown. If you had asked me before that game what my favorite play in all of college football was, I would tell you 1992 National Championship against Miami, when Miami threw what looked like a touchdown pass and George Teague ran that boy down and took that ball away from him and ran the other way. That was, man, that my top one. But I'm going to tell you something. Jalen Hurts running that touchdown to win the game and having that guy pull him down just as he crossed the goal line, and then that boy coming up going, that's my new favorite. That's right. I somebody asked me what that was. I told him, I said, it's my chest. I just let it rest every now and then. But seeing that young man, they're going to remember that. They're going to remember his interviews. But there's another post-game thing that took place that I hope you'll remember. Check it out for yourself. He had been to the interviews. He'd been through the winning, and they held up the trophies, and the coach cried. Did you see that? Old tough old, bad old, strong old Nick Saban. It's a fine old man. He'd been through all those things, all these interviews and things, and he's leaving the field. And as he's leaving the field, he looks around the stadium, one last look, and he spots an elementary age boy on the front row of the stands. He makes his way over to that boy. His name is Wyatt Bloom from Huntsville, Alabama. And he took off his wristbands, took his towel, and he gave it to Wyatt Bloom. That kid cherished that moment. Jalen's faith was rewarded. Wyatt Bloom's faith was rewarded. That boy stood there, waiting through all the accolades and all the things that took place, just hoping to see Jalen as he walked out through that tunnel. But he got more than what he saw. He got those wristbands and that towel of the guy who won the game. You see, trusting in God rewards faith in many ways that we don't even know about. God is doing things in your faith if you'll just trust him in ways that you'll never really know until you get to be with him, if you trust in God. Finally, our final point, the fear of God is restored. Look again at Matthew chapter 7. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The house built on sand fell with a mighty crash. These are the words of Jesus. He wants you to know that depending on anything or anyone other than God will leave your life in a heap. But if you fear God and only God, you'll stand strong through that. The next two verses really show us when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the religious teachers of the religious law. I like that version. What is that version? It's the New Living Translation. He teaches with authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. The crowds were amazed, it says. King James says astonished. The CEV says surprised. The Amplified said they were overwhelmed with bewildered wonder. They were blown away in the Elmore County vernacular. I tend to respond to catastrophic news in the same way, with a sense of awe and wonder and fear when those catastrophic storms come. And they give you an idea of having a healthy sense of understanding of what you're facing. It's bigger than you are. And they've taught me to fear, most of all, to fear God. Storms teach me that if the storm can be that powerful, think how powerful my God is. If a windstorm can blow houses away, think how powerful my God is. Adversity strengthens our fear of God. We need these storms to remind us who we are and who He is. Isaiah says He will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. It's worth more than money. It's worth more than anything to have that kind of awe, reverence for God. So, the final question of the day is, what are you building your foundation on? Storms come and go. Storms do damage. They come through different ways. See, when you look to Him, He'll reveal your foundation. He'll send you through the storm so you'll see that. And He'll let those storms remove the foolishness of your life. He'll reward your faith. He'll restore your fear of Him. So don't be foolish. Don't trust in the sand. If you put your trust in banks, they will let you down. If you put your trust in money, it will let you down. If you put your trust in people, they will let you down. But if you put your trust in God, He will never let you down. So you have a choice. You can build on that foundation that you choose, anything other than God, and know that one day your spiritual home will fall with a great crash, and you'll be blown away by the storm. Or you can be wise. Put your foundation into the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. Look to the Word of God. When you're going through a difficulty, what am I supposed to learn here? And then go to the Word of God and look for an answer. Turn to God and ask Him to teach you from that storm. And when you do that, you're going to stand. You'll stand through that storm and every other storm. And you'll become someone that people will look to when the storms come. God wants you to have peace in the storm, through the storm, in spite of the storm. He wants you to be so confident in Him. And the only way to do that is to get back to His Word. Put your faith in His Word. I can tell you, Jalen Hurts is a fine young man. He's more than a football player. He's a young man of God. It takes great faith to see God in his troubles. You got to get that. God brought me through. I put my trust in God and He made it happen. Somebody's in this room today. I know you're here. God put you on my heart. You've been trusting in everything else. You've been trusting in your ability to produce income. You've been trusting in your money. You've been trusting in things. You've been trusting in people. And all those things are letting you down. You are at the end of your ability to trust. And you've rejected in some way some of the things you've heard in this message. I can't trust. I can't trust. I've lost trust in everything. But God is saying to you, trust me. Trust me. I'll bring you through this storm. I'll teach you. I'll show you what this storm is all about and why you went through it. One of the reasons is because He loves you. He wants you to be the best you can be for Him. This trial, this tragedy, this difficulty, this storm that's raging around you right now is for you. I'm going to say something that I know is for somebody, maybe more than one, but there's at least one person in this room that needs to hear this. God is bringing you through a storm to bring you out of the shadows that you've been comfortable living within. He wants you to be in the light so you will be seen, so your faith will be seen, so you will be a testament to others. So if you'd say, I'm ready, I'll put my trust in God. I'm going to build my foundation on His Word. I'm going to turn to His Word. I'm going to trust in Him. With no one looking around, just put your hand right up and right back down. You're telling God, I trust you. Yes, yes, yes. All over this room. Yes, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're coming through.